Hello and welcome to Tac Talk Sports. I am your co-host Tanner Reynolds, accompanied by co-host Austin Neese and co-host Chandler Woodward. We are coming to you from Fort Wayne, Indiana, home of the Tin Cats, home of the Mad Ants, home of the Comets, home of IPFW, home of Ivy Tech, home of Indiana Tech, home of Brown Mackey College, RIP. We have a really good football school. I can never remember the name of it. They're playing for the
St. Francis.
I can never remember. They're playing for they're in the semis. And if they win this very next game, then they're going to
the NAIA.
Yeah, the Palm Beach, Florida, to play in the NAIA championship. So good luck to them. It'd be really nice to have a good team come out of Fort Wayne like they have been here in years past. Let's get started with the NBA, right at the top.
That's what I like to hear.
So looking at the NBA, starting off with the East, we see we're about a quarter of the way through the season, and right now, if the playoffs were to start today, the Toronto Raptors would have the number one seed, the Milwaukee Bucks would have the two seed, Philadelphia 76ers with the three, Indiana Pacers with the four, Detroit Pistons with the five, the Boston Celtics with the six, the Charlotte Hornets with the seven, and Orlando Magic with the eight seed. Any surprises that you guys see there, or...
You know, I thought that this was the Cleveland Cavaliers year, and I'm just kidding. No, I'm really, really happy with Indiana's play, the Pacers play. Even these past couple games without Oladipo, they've done just fine. It looks like McDermott is their backup. Him and Sabonis have been just doing a magnificent job, and I just really like the way this team is pushing forward through this adversity with Oladipo. And I think back of Paul George being on the Pacers. It was like when he went down, they went down with him. And it seems like this is not the case for this team this year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, looking at those teams, it's very top-heavy in the East. You get to the 7th and 8th seed in the East, whoever it's going to be once it comes to playoff time, it's not going to be a great team. And there's some teams that haven't performed in the East, like the Washington Wizards or the Miami Heat, who we thought would be they'd be okay teams this year, but they've been pretty bad. But looking at that, I mean, you've got maybe five teams that have a legitimate chance of making it to the NBA championship. And after that, I mean.
Yeah, I agree with that. The Washington Wizards are a giant disappointment with me. They gave John Wall a giant contract. And who's their second guy?
Bradley Beal.
Yeah, Beal. They gave Beal a giant contract as well.
And they got rid of Gortat.
Yeah, and it just hasn't been panning out for them. And I hate to see it because I'm an East guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see the East prosper. But it's just not happening this year. Yeah. Like, other than the top five, like you said, or the top four, I mean, the Detroit Pistons are, I want to say they're a good team. I think that they're one of those teams that could be 500, though, at the year's end. We'll just have to see how that plays out.
Yep. Moving on to the West. Right now, as it stands, the Los Angeles Clippers are in first place. The Golden State Warriors are in second. The Denver Nuggets are in third. Oklahoma City Thunder are in fourth. Memphis Grizzlies is in fifth. Portland Trailblazers in sixth. Los Angeles Lakers in seventh. And the Sacramento Kings in eighth. And there's a lot of teams in the West that you would think would be solid playoff teams that are in the bottom half of that conference. The Minnesota Timberwolves, New Orleans Pelicans, Houston Rockets, Utah Jazz, all teams that we would just expect to have good years after last year and the players that they do have.
I would even throw the Spurs in there in that conversation.
Yeah, Spurs too. And the first four teams that I rattled off there are all under 500 right now, with that being the Timberwolves, the Pelicans, the Rockets, and the Jazz. Who would have thought that those four teams would be under 500 a quarter of the way through the season? I mean, I sure as heck didn't.
When you're looking at their record, only one team is getting demolished in that conference, and that's the Phoenix Suns, yeah. Going 4-16. Jazz are only 3 games under 500.
Mm-hmm.
Rockets are 1 game under. Pelicans are 1 game under. Timberwolves are 1 game under that. And then the rest of the teams are either 500 or doing better than that. And I think that's just remarkable. As we talked about, the Eastern Conference is so, so top-heavy. Literally the number 8 team in the Eastern Conference is 1 game under 500. That just speaks volumes on how deep the Western Conference is.
Yeah.
But can the talent in the Eastern Conference, those top five or six teams, can those 5 or 6 teams make a difference and go deep with the Western Conference teams?
I think they can. I mean, I think looking at the top of the East, the Raptors, the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Pacers right now, I mean, I think the Celtics, if they can figure it out right now, they're not playing as well, but they do have the talent on their team to go deep, go 7, maybe even win a championship this year.
Yeah, I like the Raptors a lot, but I see the 76ers picking up some steam here, especially with that acquisition of Jimmy Butler. He's been there for going on 4 or 5 games now, but I just see that's just a very, very hefty pickup in that sector for them.
All right, so we're a quarter of the way through the season. As of this point, who do you guys think are the top contenders in the East and the West?
I'm going to say Detroit. I watched them the other night beat the Houston Rockets in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to come from behind a little bit there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a good game.
Yeah, I like Blake being on that team. Okay. I mean, honestly, I'll be the first to say when he left the Clippers, I thought, he's fading out. But he's been putting up
been balling out.
Yeah, he's been putting some big numbers this year.
Hasn't lost any of that athleticism. I mean, for the East, for me, my top contender is going to have to be the Milwaukee Bucks. And they have an unstoppable offense right now. 121 points per game. Absolutely insane. And then they're only letting up 109.9. They have the biggest margin in the league for points for and points allowed. And it's the year of Giannis this year. I think he wins MVP. He's been playing great. Brooke Lopez cannot stop making threes. He's hitting everything he puts up. It's awesome to see. And I think that the length of the Bucks really brings problems for opposing offenses. They've got Giannis. They've got Middleton. They've got Brooke Lopez. They've got Tony Snell. They've got Henson. And they've got Thon Maker. All those guys are as lengthy as you can get. And on defense, that is such an advantage for the Bucks.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that wholeheartedly. My team I'm going with is the Raptors. And it's just simple for me. 18 wins, 4 losses. What was that face?
The Raptors.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the Raptors, but they never do anything in the playoffs.
No, this is a different year.
Trust the North. Trust the North.
Yeah.
Drake coming off the bench. And
hey, as long as Drake airballs for Kentucky, that's whatever with me. But, yeah, if you can spell Giannis's last name, I will agree with you on the MVP right now.
Antetouk. UMPO.
I have no idea.
I think that's right. I think I did it.
Antetokounmpo.
Oh, I didn't have the N.
Yeah, no MVP for him. Sorry about that.
Oh, man. No MVP. I'm sorry, Giannis. I failed you.
Biggest failures in the East?
I'm going to have to go with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, as Tristan Thompson said, they're still the kings of the East. Just because LeBron's gone isn't going to change anything this season. Oh, wait. Yes, it is. You lost LeBron James. What are you saying, Tristan Thompson?
And they just lost another good scorer in Kyle Korver.
The Utah Jazz.
Yeah, it's going to the Jazz. I think that's going to give them a boost. They got a couple second-round picks. And then
Alec Burks.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be a good player when he came into the league in 2012, but he hasn't been that great. My biggest team that hasn't lived up to their expectations this year is the Celtics.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we all thought the Celtics were going to be the guys this year. We thought them and Golden State Warriors, best two teams in the league, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And the Celtics have been average at best. Their offense hasn't been very great at all, and their defense has been just slightly above average, not enough to win with their slow offense. And they've got to do something to change with their style of play because right now it's not fitting the personnel that they have.
Right.
So something's got to change for that team to pick it up. And I think they do have the talent to get there. It's just making those changes.
I heard all offseason, give us a healthy Kyrie, give us a healthy Gordon Hayward, and we're going to be easily the best team in the East. And we're seeing both of them relatively healthy, and it's just not clicking. I think Tatum's been more productive than Hayward.
Yeah.
And Kyrie hasn't been living up to his expectations this year as of yet. I'm not saying that he won't.
Yeah, he's had the points. I think he needs to become a better leader on the court to really help that team.
Yeah, he honestly, when he was with LeBron, he never had to do that.
Yeah.
He could depend on LeBron being that team captain, being that leader. And I don't know, maybe he just never learned how to do that. So I guess we'll just see moving on here in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the West. Biggest or who has the West clinched in your guys' minds?
This is going to sound crazy, but I really like the Pelicans. And, I mean, Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, Nikola Mirotic, Julius Randle, and then great positional players around them like Wesley Johnson and Ian Clark. I mean, that offense is fantastic. And then you have Anthony Davis guarding the rim. And Julius Randle, like,
they're deep.
I think that when it comes down to it, when they're all healthy, that team's going to be tough to deal with in the West. And I really like them coming out of the West.
Yeah, and like just going reinforcing what we said earlier, the number was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The number 14 team in the West and the Utah Jazz are only 5.5 games out of first place. That's crazy. It's a very close conference over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go with a plain Jane Golden State Warriors. I think they're simply the team to beat. And you give me a healthy Steph, you give me a healthy Kevin Durant, give me a healthy Klay Thompson.
Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, you get Boogie Cousins off the bench. I don't see any stopping in that train. I hope someone proves me wrong because I don't want to see them win again, but I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just hoping that they keep playing the way they have even when everyone's back because I don't want to see them win again.
I'm going to have to go with the L.A. Lakers. Oof.
Yeah.
They got LeBron. They have Lonzo. They just got Tyson Chandler and Brandon Ingram.
Yeah,
Kyle Kuzma.
Kuzma's
name. I mean, this is the team that should not be seventh in the West.
Yeah, and there's a guy I think that's going to come up very big once they make the playoffs for them, and that's Josh Hart.
Okay.
Josh Hart is a straight-up baller, and I love what that guy's doing.
Yeah, and I'm kind of contradicting myself because earlier I said the exact opposite of what I'm about to say, but having Rajon Rondo and having Lance Stephenson on that team will counter those young guys and your Kuzma and your Ingram and your Lonzo Balls. I think those old captains that were on previous winning teams, I know that Rondo was with the Celtics when they won. I don't know if Stevenson's went to a playoff. I don't know exactly.
He's been to the playoffs. I don't think
not championship game, though.
Well, not championship.
But even though they just both have experience. They both have years in the league, and I think that will prove great for them.
Even in the last couple of years, playoff Rondo has been a throwback Rondo, where when it comes playoff time, Rondo's been balling out. He did it last year with the Pelicans. Did it the year before that with the Bulls. It'll be something to see once the Lakers make the playoffs.
So give it time. The Lakers will be a scary team. They're just trying to figure out who they are now.
Yeah, I mean, they're staying about 500 trying to figure things out. That's pretty remarkable.
All right, and then just to end up with the NBA, some of the last night's scores. Pistons beat the Knicks 115-108. The Hawks beat the Heat 115 to 113. The Nuggets demolished the Lakers 117 to 85. The Pacers beat the Suns 109 to 104. And the Raptors beat the Grizz 122 to 114.
Moving straight into college basketball, we have a new standard scoring system of how teams are going to be ranked this year, and it's called the NET. I don't think anyone honestly knows what the NET is or what it stands for. Pretty much what I've came to learn about is that it considers the strength of schedule and the margin of victory, game results, the winning percentage adjusted by where they play at or who they play against. It seems fine and dandy when you put it in terms like that. But if anyone's looked at the rankings, they had Ohio State number one. And
I know it was awful to see a number one team go down tonight, but
yeah, it was wild. It was like they were number 16 seed almost, you know, yeah. In reality.
Number one team goes down to an unranked opponent.
Yeah, and the list goes on and on craziness. What, they have Texas Tech in number two. Mm-hmm. Duke doesn't come on the list until number five.
Belmont at 10.
Yeah, and they have Loyola Marymount on number seven, I believe.
Yeah.
Purdue Fort Wayne was 238th.
Yeah.
Who had a huge win tonight, by the way. 104-60 against Eastern Illinois.
Go Dawgs.
Yeah, okay. How's the volleyball team going, Austin?
It's all right. We got a good team this year.
So some other we'll talk about the NET a little bit longer. They have Texas Tech at number one. Ohio State will obviously be dropping. They have them number two. Virginia's playing Michigan as we speak. Michigan's leading going into the halftime. They have the Zags, Duke. They have Michigan State ahead of Kansas. And if I'm not mistaken, Kansas just beat Michigan State. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how this came about. I don't know what it's trying to do, what it's trying to prove, but I don't think the formula was perfected like they hoped. And sadly, what this tool is being used for is going to be the primary measurement tool to finalize the field of 68 for March Madness. So this NET scoring system, or this NET system in of itself, is going to be the final determiner of March Madness. Right now, Kentucky's not in March Madness.
That just blows my mind.
According to the NET. Nate Silver, he is a reputable analyst from 538 Sports. He called this system the worst rankings I've ever seen in any sports ever. And I'm not far off with him.
I mean, I haven't seen anything worse than this.
And honestly, they're trying to replace the RPI. And RPI is a rating percentage index. And it has a lot of the same functions. But people were saying it was ineffective. So they tried something new. One thing that RPI did not do that this is trying to do is consider the location of the games being played. So if you play away against a top 50 team or you play at home against a top 5 team, it'll give you more points for those games, right, where the RPI did not. And I don't know. We'll see. It might be too early to judge this. But
they definitely have some kinks that they need to figure out if they want this to be as efficient and successful as they thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go on to the ACC Big Ten tournament. The annual tournament held since 1999. In 1999, only 9 teams played. Now we're up to 14 matchups. That equals 28 teams, last time I checked. It's a big sports rivalry. It's something that completely dominates the coverage on ESPN and all their affiliates for 3 straight days now. It's just a really big basketball classic matchups where you have your Midwesterners and maybe your, I don't know, Southeastern conferences, your ACC, wherever they may be. And it's really cool to see some old school basketball be able to be played, and you get to play for your entire what am I trying to think
conference?
Of? Yeah, you play for your conference rather than just playing against your conference.
Mm-hmm. Go Big Ten.
Go ACC.
No. ACC did put a hurting on IU. That game last night
was... Yeah, that was not fun to watch.
I think they had to replace the rim like 7 times for Zion last night. It was just...
It's looking good for Michigan as we speak against North Carolina.
Yeah, Michigan's up going into the half. What's the... Where are they?
7 versus 11? Rankings?
No. What's the ACC Big Ten matchup right now?
Six to five.
So it's pretty close.
Yep.
This game will be a big determiner. Ohio State just lost.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State should not have lost to Louisville.
Maryland had a tough loss against a very good Virginia team.
Yeah, they played really, really tough. That was number 4 going up against number
24.
Yeah, 24. So it's not like they're just some scum bum games. Like, these are legit.
Oh, we got Purdue versus Florida State going on right now. Purdue's 19, Florida State's 15. We've got a 7th versus an 11th matchup in Michigan and North Carolina. And honestly, I heard it today, and I think it might be true. Michigan State is underrated as a 7 right now.
Michigan, sorry. Yeah. I would believe that wholeheartedly. I mean, they're playing tough against North Carolina. It is at Michigan University,
mm-hmm.
which helps. But many people are saying that they're underrated, and they brought a lot of players back from last year. So we'll have to see. I hope so. The Big Ten needs that dominant team like they're used to having.
Yeah. We haven't seen it in the past couple of years. They've had a lot of really good teams, but no great teams.
Right. It's kind of like when they
– I think since – I mean, Michigan went to the national championship last year. I'm not taking anything away from them, but I don't think that they were a great team.
No, I mean – Loyola Chicago made it to the
Final Four. Yeah. Last year's games were just a mess in that tournament.
Virginia got beat by
UMBC.
Yeah.
UMBC.
I know that their mascot's like a dog or something, like a golden retriever.
Yeah, the retrievers.
Yeah. So last year is kind of a bad example to use. But let's hope Big Ten and not Duke plays really well for the rest of the year.
I hope that Duke plays Gonzaga every game for the rest of the year.
We'd beat them.
Yeah.
Good luck.
All right, let's move on to the NFL. What teams have a legit shot at making or winning the Super Bowl?
I mean, I think we gotta group it up into 3 tiers here. We've got the first tier, and for my first tier, you guys can argue with me if I'm wrong. It's the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Saints. And I don't think any other teams are in that tier.
Right. Agreed.
And then I have a second tier with the Bears, the Patriots, the Texans, the Chargers, and the Cowboys. A little bit bigger of a tier. All those teams are really solid teams, but they have some deficiency here or there.
So there's 2 teams there that I just – when you don't look at their schedule or when you don't look at their record right now and you don't look at their past games – you just think, oh, that team, there's no way that they're in a second tier fighting for a Super Bowl, and that's the Texans and the Cowboys as of late. I do not think of the Texans as a second tier team, but they're on an 8-game winning streak.
8-game winning streak.
8-3, and the Cowboys are picking
up. 3 or 4.
Yeah. I mean, Zeke's starting to play really well. But like I said, I do not think of those teams as of late, and the Chargers in that matter. Phillip Rivers is always solid, and he's a good quarterback. But I just never think of them as a tier 2 contender. But they honestly are this year.
Yeah, and then a tier 3 for me, the Pretenders, where they're pretty good teams, but I don't think they really have a shot at a Super Bowl. The Vikings, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Redskins, the Colts, and the Seahawks. And there's a lot of different types of teams that we see here. We see a lot of teams that we thought were going to be Super Bowl contenders at the beginning of the year, and a lot of teams that we thought weren't going to be playoff teams. So it's interesting to see how things have come this late into the season.
I would add the Panthers in that Pretenders group as well.
Yeah.
They can get on a roll, especially if Cam Newton starts playing.
I think 3 weeks ago I would have had them as a tier 2 team, but the way they've played the last couple weeks, I put them out of any contention.
So Steelers and Chargers, same record, play this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Steelers have the tie, so they have tied the Browns.
Yeah, and I mean, there is a pretender because of last week's loss, honestly. So we're looking at that's a very crucial game going into next week. That's the difference between them playing for just a division and playing for a possible Super Bowl title.
And I think if I think that the Steelers have the Steelers and the Vikings out of this tier three teams have the best chance of actually being contenders this year. The Vikings have a good team, but they haven't lived up to their hype. And the Steelers have just been playing great lately. Not as much the last 2 weeks, but up until this point, they've really turned their season around from the start of the season where they weren't playing well at all.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. So some other must-win games. John, you want to read those off?
We have the Cowboys versus Saints, the Ravens over the Falcons, the Colts over the Jaguars, Green Bay over the Cardinals, Seattle over San Francisco, and the Redskins over the Eagles.
Yeah, it's interesting to see with the Cowboys versus the Saints and the Redskins versus the Eagles. The Eagles, the Redskins, and the Cowboys are all within one game of each other,
right?
From the same division. And right now the Cowboys are in first. They have the tie with Redskins. They beat them last week, so they win that tiebreaker. But, I mean, the Cowboys playing the Saints, that's going to be a tough game. And if the Eagles beat the Redskins, that puts the Eagles in real contention to win their division, which
we did
after
not.
That start of the season, yeah. Nobody thought they were going to be able to come back from that. So,
and I think the Colts going up against the conference foes and the Jaguars, I think that's a crucial game. If they can win that and somehow the Falcons can pull off the upset over the Ravens, that would just do wonders because that moves the Colts into a playoff. Berth, I'm pretty sure, or wild card.
Yep.
Gives them the second wild card, if I'm not mistaken. So these are some crucial games happening this week in, what is this, 13, 14? I think we're in week 14 now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting time to down to the nitty-gritty, and we're just got to see who's going to nut up or shut up in these last couple weeks. Our game of the week to watch is the Steelers versus Chargers, just because what we emphasized earlier, those are both really good teams, 8-3. They have some career quarterbacks. They have some very explosive power. Melvin Gordon is out for the Chargers, so that's going to be a big downfall to that offensive potency. But we can see maybe their defense will step up. Maybe their backup, Lindsey, maybe he can step up into that role. He's hurt. Isn't he?
Who?
Lindsey.
Philip Lindsey.
He's on the
– I mean, not Philip Lindsey.
Austin Eckler?
Yes, Eckler.
I don't know. He's a pretty good running back, but he's more of a pass catcher than anything else. So I see them moving their third string running back. What's his name? Josh. I don't even know his name. He's a third stringer. But
I didn't even know their second stringer.
I see them moving him up to more of a running back position and keeping Austin Eckler maybe a few more carries here and there, but still keeping him as more of a pass catcher than anything.
I think I have Eckler in one of my fantasy teams. I should probably know what team he plays.
You have him. You have him in our league. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, I knew that. I'm gonna be starting him this week. You know, Melvin Gordon now, whatnot. So
my team is projected 145 points this week.
Yeah, we need triple PPR in our league. I'm just kidding. All right. So that's our NFL wrap-up. Let's go into college football, and let's just really analyze what the CFP committee's selection said about who's in and who's out.
Yeah, Bam. So, go ahead. I mean, looking at it, Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Georgia, top four seeds.
Right.
I don't see much changing from that.
So let's say this. If Bama loses this week, they're still in. If Georgia beats them, I still think Alabama's.
It just blows my mind. If it's any other team losing, they're out. But just because it's Bama, they're gonna stay in.
I don't think you can knock Georgia to losing to Bama, just because they're Bama.
Yeah,
but.
It's like 2 years ago saying, oh, you guys go way down this in the standings because you lose to the Golden State Warriors. No, you just got beat by a super team.
But, I mean, it's interesting to see if Georgia beats Bama.
Yeah, and they could do a straight flip 1-4. Georgia go number one, Bama go number four.
I don't see that happening because I think that they don't want Georgia and Bama to play again. Unless it's a super good game, then maybe they have them play each other again. But I see them maybe moving Clemson up to 1, Georgia 2, Notre Dame stays at 3, and they put Bama at 4.
That would still have Bama and Georgia playing.
I could even see them. No, wouldn't it?
If you have
Georgia would play Notre Dame.
Oh,
Bama would
okay.
play Clemson.
Let's put Clemson 1. Let's put Georgia 2, Notre Dame 3, and Bama 4. That'd be Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Georgia. And I think Bama and Georgia are winning those two games.
Do you think there's any chance that Oklahoma or Ohio State make?
Yes.
I think Clemson has to lose.
I think Georgia has to lose. If Georgia loses, the committee cannot keep them in the top 4.
Oklahoma's going to have to crush Texas if Georgia loses.
I don't know. Honestly, Oklahoma's only loss is against Texas, and that was at the Cotton Bowl, which is a very hostile environment. It seats 90,000
yeah.
people.
They had a tough game with West Virginia, who's a really good team too, but they ended up pulling out in a 184-182 score. I'm just kidding. It was just a really high-scoring game.
Oklahoma has no defense.
No defense.
At all. I mean, the games are going to be close because of that reason. If they had any defense at all, I would not. I would have them in the 4 spot right now if they had any sort of defense at all.
See, Oklahoma has no defense, but they're going to score points on you no matter what. You can put Bama's defense out there. You can put the Chicago Bears defense out there. They're going to score on you. There's nothing you can do about it.
I mean, that's what LSU thought until they walked into, or actually Alabama walked into, was it Tiger Stadium down mm-hmm. there in Louisiana?
So, yeah.
Got crushed. So they have, and then we have Alabama, Georgia, obviously. If Alabama loses, we're saying they're staying in the top 4. Georgia only has one loss, and that's against LSU at LSU.
A very good LSU team.
Only one team has beaten LSU at LSU, and that is Alabama. Not many teams go into LSU and win.
Very hostile environment.
Ohio State has to beat Northwestern if they want to have any contention or any talk about them getting in the top 4 at all. And that's with Georgia losing or Notre Dame Notre Dame doesn't even play.
Nope.
Clemson somehow losing or Georgia somehow losing. That's literally the only way I see Ohio State going in. And it stinks for Ohio State because they had one loss against Purdue. That was it.
And do you think it changes if that loss to Purdue is a little bit closer? Or
I don't think so.
No, I think they're still a 5 or 6. I don't think they're in the contention. It's one thing to lose to a top 25 school, and it's another thing to lose to Purdue.
Yeah. I mean, Purdue has been an up-and-down team all season, and you just can't have that loss and still make it to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Especially with the way it is this year.
Yeah. So my big dream, if I could cast one dream this year just for college football, not for anything but college football, I would have UCF in the contention. Yes, their quarterback just got hurt. But I think they've won, 25 games in a row now?
24, I think.
24-0 in the last 24 games. And like I just said, they lost their quarterback. But the committee cannot hold that over their head because, if I'm not mistaken, Ohio State lost 2 quarterbacks in 2015 and still got the number 4 seed in the national playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think what's holding them back is their quarterback being injured.
It's their weakness of schedule, for sure.
It's their strength of schedule. And I think you've got to put some out-of-conference games that are tougher if you're UCF, if you want mm-hmm. any chance of making the college football playoff.
I think they've asked for harder. I think they've came out and asked, but who wants to lose to a very bad conference team?
I heard they want Bama.
They have control over their schedule, too. I think they have to find someone that will play them. There's got to be a good Big Ten team, a good SEC team.
You see what they did to Cincinnati. I mean, they beat – I mean, Cincinnati is no joke of a team. They're ranked 14th when they played, and they handed it to them pretty good. I don't know. I just think that they deserve more credit. I know that their schedule is not the greatest, But if you think about it, neither is Notre Dame's.
And Notre Dame's is a little bit better. They got Michigan on their schedule.
Okay.
You know, they've got a few better teams than what UCF is playing. And, I mean, UCF has Temple, ECU, Memphis is an okay team, SMU, FAU, you know, South Carolina State and UConn. You can't be playing those teams. USF, I mean, it sucks that that's their conference, but.
Yeah, it's.
You got to find someone.
Notre Dame has some standout wins for sure. They destroyed Syracuse. USC, Notre Dame's always a big rivalry. They held on against Northwestern. Pitt gave them a good run. But I'm just not seeing Michigan. And then they only won by 8 against Ball State. I'm just saying that in my mind, Notre Dame has as much to improve on their schedule as a team like UCF that plays a bunch of just smaller schools that don't really have any potential. And it just stinks to me to see such a good run in 23-0 not get such a great recognition as they do.
See, Notre Dame plays a really good Stanford team, a really good Virginia Tech team, a really good Northwestern team that actually is won their side of the Big Ten, is going for a Big Ten championship, a really good Syracuse team, a USC team, a Michigan team, and a not so bad Wake Forest team.
Right.
If you put half of those games into UCF's schedule and they win them all, I think they're in contention. I think they have a 90% chance of making the college football playoff, compared to a 1% chance.
And that's where we have to question, is it UCF's fault that they're not playing that strong of a schedule, or is it no one wants to take the time and play that team because they are a pretty good team that does not come from a big conference.
Mm-hmm.
Was it top five or whatever those?
Yeah, big five.
Yeah, they don't come from that conference, so they don't want to lose to a non-big five conference team.
Yeah, because then if they lose to UCF, they're out.
Yeah,
of the college football playoff.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm just glad it's not my job because I'd be pulling the same way I am right now, and people would probably be laughing at me. So, I guess we'll see. We'll just see in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for listening. It's been real. We've had fun.
We do accept donations. If anyone wants to send me money, just send a direct message to the Instagram.
Yep.
Our Instagram is
TAC Sports. And we also have a Twitter. And we'd also really love to hear you guys' input on what we can change, what we can do better, and just how we can move forward and make our podcast what you guys want to listen to.
Yeah, we want to cater to what you want to listen to. So if you have any ideas for us, we're more than happy to listen to them.
This is Tanner Reynolds, and I'm for Austin East and Chandler Woodward, and we're signing off.